The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
They'll even start, of course, coming to an end, and some people will already have plans what they're going to do next year. Others may be going straight into work, looking at a gap year, they're going to go travelling. Others may be still weighing up their options. And more we know now opting for apprenticeship. So over 8,500 people going down the vocational route at the moment. It is government policy, official policy, to increase that number even more. Simon Harris has made this one of the strings in his bow. Well, here to discuss Jessica Kelly, not our own Jessica Kelly, I hasten to add, Jessica Kelly, who's an apprentice butcher at the Village Butchers in Ranelagh, Dylan Bradshaw, the owner and creative director of Dylan Bradshaw, and Owen Caverley, the Aer Lingus aircraft maintenance and engineering apprentice. You're all very welcome, folks, and it's good to see you all. So Jessica, you are how far into your butcher training?
So I'm in my final year of 2 years of a craft apprentice butcher.
And did you? Would it be fair to say you fought the family business for a time?
For a long, long time, I was dragging my heels. But I came back from travelling and I didn't know what I was up to, so I decided to go full on and start my apprenticeship. Yeah.
And are you enjoying it?
I love it. Yeah, yeah. Now that I've given in, I actually realise that I'm actually pretty good at it. So to be rewarded and go through all the rings is really good. Yeah.
And like, I want you to kind of go back maybe to when you were in sixth year and going in to do the leaving cert. I mean, was it ever on the agenda? Like, if you had said it to your friends, you know, I'm thinking about training to be a butcher. You know, were people talking about apprenticeships the way we kind of would like them to be talking about apprenticeships?
No, not at all. And I definitely was not ready for college. I picked the fourth course I seen and I dropped out pretty quick, and apprenticeship wasn't on my radar at the time, so I just got a normal working retail job and I travelled for a while. But looking back now, I wish I started my apprenticeship before I travelled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And travelled with the trade and done the work when you were abroad.
Yeah, you can go anywhere, like it stops you nowhere.
Yeah. Dylan, I mean, do you think we still, and we talk about that increase in numbers and that it's official government policy, but you know, does that kind of draw to the kind of the formal academic third level education? Does it still exist to a big degree?
Yeah, I do. I think there's too much focus sometimes on academia, and I think there's actually, we've a lot more to give. I think people, there's a lot more creative people out there, and there's so many more avenues, and we probably don't promote it enough. Especially, it's not sexy. You know, when we say apprenticeships, we kind of think of it being, oh, you didn't do well in school, which I think is terrible, because I think schooling has been something that's gone on for so long now, and it hasn't really changed an awful lot. And I actually think apprenticeships is a really, really good way of getting a qualification, but actually taking it with you. Like Jess said, that you can actually take it around the world with you. It's an amazing thing to do. And I have to say, from my point of view, that hairdressing in Ireland is probably the best on the planet. Like, some of the most successful hairdressers all over the world are Irish, and that's because they have the gift of the gab, but they also have a skill. It's very, very good, and it takes you, literally opens up many, many doors. It has for me, and many, many people that have worked with me or for me.
And in your business, you offer training. You've got different training. And I mean, are they always oversubscribed, or what's the demand level like? So Does it kind of ebb and flow?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Like, we had a school, an academy, and that we had it run successfully for 7-8 years. And we actually, before lockdown, we actually decided to give it a break, because it was so expensive for people traveling all over the country to do a 12-month or 18-month diploma course with us.
Yeah.
Because they just said, factoring in the money, they were saying, I can't afford, or I can't get a place to live in Dublin. The same story that we've heard on so many stories about it. So that was a problematic for us. But at the same time, that we do offer apprenticeships if you work at Dylan Bradshaw, so that we are always looking for trainees and stuff that can come through. We're looking for new guys that want to take on an apprenticeship for 3 years at Dylan Bradshaw.
And I mean, when you talk about the financial barriers that exist, what is, or how would you assess the level of government support out there?
Well, there's a new scheme now that the government have, I suppose, launched last, which is the government apprenticeship for hairdressing. And there's a Kailash the Dulig at the moment now have launched their diploma course, which is a day of a week that you go to their college. And that's starting to roll out across nationally. So you get your qualifications so you can travel all over the world. But for the likes of ourselves, we do our qualifications within the salon. Mm. And that, again, it's just really about, it's a really good training.
I mentioned Owen Caverley, who's with us as well. He's an aircraft maintenance and engineering apprentice with Aer Lingus. Oh, Owen, it strikes me you could get into kind of aircraft engineering one of two ways. You could do what you're doing, the apprenticeship route. There is, I think in UL, I think there's kind of an aeronautical engineering degree, which might have gotten you into it that way. So you could have kind of pursue this career then the apprenticeship way or the kind of the formal academic way. Why did you go apprenticeship?
Definitely. So there's two routes, and I can say I was definitely looking at, because I came straight out of school and into this, and I was definitely looking at pursuing it the way in UL. And at the time, what actually stopped me was just I'm Dublin based myself, and it was like, we all know the cost of accommodation is not one we want to be burdening with. So I was kind of looking at other routes, and when this came up based in Dublin, that was the main reason I'd gone for it originally. But now that I'm actually in it, I see it's so much more valuable going down the route of an apprenticeship. It gives you so much more opportunities. And like from talking to colleagues and everything in Aer Lingus, you see like they all come up the apprenticeship way. And it's just, it gives you so much more hands-on experience. And you come out of your 4 years already knowing everything about the industry. And you can just dive straight into work as soon as you finish your program.
Yeah, and I'm struck as well. Like, I mean, for a job like yours with the like practical knowledge is so important. Practical training, you would imagine, therefore, should be important and there should be a premium placed on it.
Oh, totally. And like we spend 2 out of 4 of our years working on the job training. And then the other 2 years, even of the other 2 years, the other half or half of that is spent in the workshop practicing up skills and building up your knowledge of your practical skills and your hand skills. It's definitely like not something you can do. I know in the UL program, there's a 6-month internship and a 6-month internship over 4 years. I don't think that suffices the knowledge you need in this industry for working with your hands.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it's like now in other colleges, but when I started college, that's over 20 years ago. Now, there was engineering degrees. People could go right through an engineering degree in some of the universities and they'd never spend any time working. If you're an engineer and all you would have learned was things in books, it's kind of remarkable, Dylan.
It's crazy, isn't it? If you think about it, that you were serving an apprenticeship in hairdressing but actually never cut hair, never put your hand on a head of hair.
Isn't it amazing?
It is funny.
We were doing it with kind of designing and building aircrafts and maintaining them.
But I think that's the great thing about apprenticeships is that you get stuck in straight away. The other thing as well is that we deal with people every day of the week. It's a really good skill to have, is just to actually try and have a conversation with people and appease people, look after people, take care of people and give them a good service. So on all aspects of it, it's very, very good business for that we're in. Even for yourself, you were saying from a butcher point of view, it's not just about the skill of butchering. We were joking earlier on because I actually trained as a butcher as well.
Oh, did you?
Yesteryears. Some people would still say I'm a butcher, to be honest.
Yeah. I was kind of saying, can I really joke to Dylan that
another
he's butchering
joke,
people?
Yeah, another dad joke.
I don't think I can. He can make it all he wants. Jessica, that's a good point to bring up, isn't it? I mean, there's all of the skills that come into butchering meat that you're learning, but there's all the other stuff about kind of running a business and dealing with people and all of that stuff that you learn almost by osmosis by being in there that you wouldn't learn in the academic sphere.
Exactly, yeah. So every day you're dealing with people, you're dressing a counter, you're dealing with numbers, you're dealing with meat as well. Like, it doesn't stop. It goes from one thing to another. So you pick up it all on the way, yeah.
And like, would you have liked there to have been, and maybe it was just a personal thing, but would you have liked there to have been more encouragement at secondary school for people to pursue apprenticeships?
Me personally, I'd say yes, but what Dylan was saying, apprenticeships aren't sexy, especially a butcher one, you know, for a woman to do is not, it's very off-putting, you know, so, but now more people are starting to come into it. It's getting a bit trendy again. There's lots of ways to get into it. It's enjoyable now, you know.
Well, you can put craft before you. Craft hairdressing is what you need to get into, Dylan. When you put craft before butchers or beer or anything, you know, that kind of makes it hip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a craft hairdresser.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, food has become such a big thing, and butchering is about. We were just talking about like barbecue and stuff before we came on, but actually, these things are coming online because people are drawn to it now, and it's cool, and it's actually something people say, I could actually make a career of that. Same with the hairdressing thing has become. When I started in the '80s, it was like, people thought you were, you know, you were, I was in a Christian brother school. I used to get awful slaggings being a hairdresser, you know, but actually they were great days, and I love it. And I think it's a great asset, I have to say, in life.
And Jessica as well, I mean, the ability to earn a few bob as well when you're training I mean, that's helpful.
Yeah, it's a very well paid skill.
Yeah. I mean, when you were looking at it, you obviously there's the family tradition, which obviously influenced you. Maybe tried to push you away from it, maybe for a while, yeah. Before drawing you back in. To what extent did you kind of look far into the future and think, like, this is a skill that I'm always going to have, or was it very much just, you know what, I'm enjoying this now, so I'm going to do it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm enjoying this now, so I'm going to do it. But it is a part of me. I'm going to be involved in the family business for a long time, so I may as well enjoy what I'm doing and take pride in it, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to say Owen kind of, and Owen Caverley is still with us. Owen, I'm struck, maybe people who are listening think I'm being very down on kind of academic education and people studying in universities, and I studied in university myself, so I'm not. I suppose what we're trying to get at here is that there was maybe a push, kind of conscious and otherwise, in this country for years that all training had to become academic. And now there seems to be kind of a nudge back in the other direction that, you know what, there are kind of practical skills that you need to teach in a practical way. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, we're kind of come to the point now that we've been pushing third level education for so long that, or like academic education, that we're kind of reaching a shortage of like craftsmen. And it's really important to kind of keep pushing that now. And especially, like, I'm really glad Simon Harris has talked about upping the numbers for apprenticeships and upping the funding. It's great. Third level academic education is great. And I can say, like, most of my friends went down that route. I'm one of the few that went down the apprenticeship route. I'm really glad I did. But I think there's just needs to be more of a push, and even resourcing to kind of secondary schools to like emphasize apprenticeships and these kind of other schemes more, as well as just your academic route.
Yeah, you were nodding along there. The secondary school argument, Jessica.
Yeah, totally. I wish it was the same. Secondary school and uni wasn't for me, and I dropped out very quick. But if there was more of an open conversation of what kind of route you can go down for apprenticeships, I probably would have started sooner.
Yeah. Proactive conversations, yeah. You know, because it is always seen as a kind of a... you're not doing well in school, yep. So apprenticeship.
Well, I'll give you an example. I went to CBS as well, and day one, first year, they divided all the lads up by aptitude.
Yeah,
so this was it. Three students,
yeah.
By aptitude,
yeah.
And only in the lower classes, as we call them, could you do any of the manual courses?
That's
could you do woodworking or technology?
Yeah.
The A1 and A2, you were not allowed to touch a lathe. And
exactly.
My God, stay away from chisels. You'll don't need them. But which, of, like, as 12-year-olds then, what are you teaching them? Really, subliminally, you're saying the jobs, you know, those jobs, those manual jobs, they're for the lads mm-hmm. with less kind of natural aptitude for academics than you.
Big time. But it's funny, actually, when you think about apprenticeships, you think about small business owners as well, and people that are actually entrepreneurs in their own way as well. So people who are actually have much more confidence in actually being independent thinkers and doing things differently. Sometimes when we talk about academia and we talk about schools and third level education, we're telling everybody to be the same, which is not always the best thing, you know, because we're not making people independent in the way they think and the way they run businesses. So I do think there's a lot more to be said about apprenticeships, and I definitely think the conversation should be definitely more open and discussed a lot more, especially from early in school, because it's terrible to think that people get to 18, 19, 20 and they bounce around in courses or part-time jobs, not realising where they probably could have the conversation 3 or 4 years before, you know.
And when you think of it, Jessica, as well, like in terms of the diversity of opportunity, there's lots of different things you can do with having the skills of a butcher than just kind of standing and working behind the counter. That's absolutely fine. If that's what you want to do, do it and be happy doing it. There's lots of other different things you can do. And Dylan, there's that, like, I mean, you have kind of a range of different businesses. Mm-hmm. I think of a friend of mine is a director of a company. He started off as an electrician. That's his trade. He has a trade and he's the director of a company. Mm-hmm. Not sure we get that message across necessarily in secondary school.
Pretty much. And I think that's, again, I think like conversations like now is really, really good, because we're bringing that back and actually letting people go. Sometimes even parents go with kids, someone would want to go into third level education, or they want to leave school a little bit earlier. They're horrified at the prospect of, oh my God, my child's only going to be, which is not the case. It's a great foundation to start from and then to build your career and a business and, you know, a really good, steady future.
Yeah, well, listen, I hope we've at least made some people out there who are wondering what they're going to do next year or the year year after that, wherever they happen to be in the education cycle, to have a look at apprenticeships and realise that there is a huge diversity of opportunity out there in terms of the world of work. Jessica Kelly is an apprentice butcher at the Village Butchers in Ranelagh. Dylan Bradshaw is the owner and creative director of Dylan Bradshaw. Noam Caverley was with us as well. He's an aircraft maintenance and engineering apprentice with Aer Lingus. Folks, thanks a million, all of you, for taking part in the discussion. Really enjoyed it.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.